regarding his status. Did you share it in his feeling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
More on the cultural events take place inside?
Oh, yeah, a lot of all those, especially the Issei people, you know. All their lives, you know, most of them, the families, mothers, they just work to raise their children, send them to school,
mm-hmm.
you know. Japanese parents, Issei parents, their own sole concern more or less was to raise their kids and give them a good education and all that. So they worked hard, you know. So when they got in relocation camp, you know, they didn't have anything to do. They maybe some worked in the kitchen for a few hours a day during the breakfast or noon or whatever, you know. But the rest of the day, it's free. They don't have anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they had all kinds of clubs, like flower arranging clubs and these poetry clubs, or, you know, various clubs, and a lot of these, you know, these especially the Issei parents,
mm-hmm.
join these clubs. You know, each block may have a few blocks maybe together have a club, and then they mm-hmm. have a contest, and
yeah.
Yeah, they made the best of it. And mm-hmm. these, a lot of people, after the first year, they got the place pretty well built up and organized.
Uh-huh.
They were having a pretty good time, I would think. You know.
Yeah.
Of course, they didn't like to be left in there, but
yeah.
they made the best of it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm pretty sure some of the older people may have even enjoyed it
yeah.
because they were able to do a lot of things they couldn't have done if when they were out.
Uh-huh.
You know, organized basketball, sports, you know, baseball, and even touch football. And
so the conditions, from what I gather, weren't really that bad. I mean,
we weren't treated bad at all. They, yeah. they fed us well. Of course, you couldn't eat the luxury food, but we were fed three times a day, they gave us clothing. If winter months, they issued jackets and. You know, they issue you so much clothing to get by, but a lot of the little finer stuff, you know, they all order out of the catalogs.
Mm-hmm.
People that could afford it, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, since your brother went off to work and your other brother was off to education, it was just yeah. you and your mother and yeah. your father until he passed away.
Yeah.
What was your mother doing? Yeah, what did she do?
Well, until she passed away, he was 100% of the time was taken by taking care of him. We had him in our own house.
Oh, I see.
You know, mm-hmm. until he got so bad, you know, became real sick that we had to put him in the hospital before mm-hmm. he died. But until then, we family took care of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know. He was a 24-hour constant care because he was so paralyzed from here down that every hour or two he had to be moved to, you know, so he won't get bed sores.
Yeah.
And had to be fed and everything. You know. So that's the reason that we, mother and I and another brother, had to take constant turn during the night and the day to take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but after that, she... You know, she likes flower arrangements and mm-hmm. she likes various things. So they went to this, she went to a certain club to learn sing Japanese shigini or whatever. That's a kind of a singing mm-hmm. group, you know, and maybe a flower arrangement and try anything to keep occupied.
Mm-hmm. The Manzanar riot, that was in 42. You were still in camp when this broke out? The Manzanar riot?
Yeah, I heard about it, yes.
What was the reaction of yourself and the camp? Was there any reaction?
No, we never paid. We probably never heard of it before, you know, but we never paid much attention.
Yeah.
So some of the key bays, I guess, thought that JCL groups were behind us. Well, they started to, U.S. Army started, came into every camp and made all the Niseis fill in the questionnaire.
The loyalty oath?
Loyalty oath. You know, you have to fill in, there's 28 or 9 questions. I guess you heard about it.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you had a partake in this oath, correct?
Mm-hmm. And there's a last two questions were kind of a loyalty question.
I have questions. I wanted to ask you how you and your brother and your father responded.
Well, that's the one. My dad was still alive, and he said that's the question. He said, I asked him. You know,
it was questions 27, 28. Your father had you?
No, he
didn't. He didn't.
When we went to question, we heard about it before.
Mm-hmm. How did you answer to the questions?
I answered yes. I really didn't want to in that condition, but you know, I figured, well, being a U.S. citizen, we.
What do you mean you really didn't want to?
Huh?
What do you mean?
I didn't feel like going in armed forces.
You felt
out of the camp when you got stuck in a relocation camp.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I didn't think that was right. But 28 is then he said, would you swear unqualified allegiance to U.S.?
Yeah.
Sure, I'm a U.S. citizen, I'll swear to that, but to go into a camp, army from a camp isn't right, you know.
Yeah.
You have to be stuck in there, you're losing a lot of your business and stuff, you know. But in our camp, the army people said, you either say no, or yes, in these two questions. You can say no on one and yes on the other. If you say no on one, then you can't say yes on the other.
You're contradicting yourself.
Contradicting yourself.
Yeah, huh?
No, I said there's more than one way of being loyal to U.S., even if you don't go into a service in our style, in our condition.
Right.
But they wouldn't accept that. See? So I finally signed yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A lot of people decide no. They were sent to Tule Lake.
Right. Yeah. In signing yes, did you feel that maybe you'd be drafted right away and asked to, forced to join the Army or in signing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what did you take into consideration before you answered yes? What were your considerations before you answered yes? What did you think would happen when you filled out the questionnaire?
Well, I felt if they called me, eventually called me, I'll just have to join.
Mm-hmm.
But I was prepared, to join if I were called.
Mm-hmm.
If I was called, but mother losing father right after that, father passed away after this questionnaire came out.
I see.
And my youngest brother went to Toledo, and
right.
Another one went out to Toledo, and he said, I'm the only one, being the oldest son. He says, don't go in the army if you could help it. So I did everything I can to stay out of it.
Uh-huh. Answering no would have for sure made you, they wouldn't have taken you in the army answering no, but you went ahead and answered yes.
Yes.
You're taking the chance.
I'm taking the chance.
You took the chance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, when were you released from Gila? Or Gila?
I was free to go after they start, taking you out to on the workforce, like say I went to Idaho one summer, came back, and I went to Chicago the following winter, and then went back to Utah. So I was free to go. I was going in and out of the camp just because mother was there.
See? Oh, I see.
Yeah. And since we had a place in the Rio Grande that was ours, eventual home was here. See, we were planning to come back
right
when we can. So, taking just mother along would be, any place where nobody's around. If I went to work, she'd be stuck at the house. So, camp was a good place for her, right? To stay anyways, with all the friends around. So I just left her there and went wherever to find work myself.
Uh-huh. What type of work? I mean, tell me more of this, of this work you partake in. I mean, where did you go?
I'm born and raised on a farm all my life anyway. So I, Idaho, and was in a sugar, on a farm, thinning beets. And then the rest of the summer we worked on a farm as a farmhand for one farmer, potatoes and sugar beets and driving horses.
They gave you permits to leave the camp and do this, right? Yeah. Were you with fellow internees going to these different places to work?
Yeah, we, about three, four of us, friends, they went, In fact, three of the fellows went over there and stayed all summer, and then came back after they got too cold to work in Idaho. It's all seasonal anyway.
Were you obligated to come back? I mean, was this permit saying, okay, you can go work, but you have to come back? I mean, or,
I'm not sure. I don't think so. We went on a seasonal work. We contracted seasonal work to go to work for this one co-op or association or whatever, and they hired us and paid our way over there. But after the contract was over there, we just went on our own and found the work on the farm someplace. So I don't think we had to come back to into camp. The only reason we came back was there's no work and we didn't have any other place that you had a job lined up.
And plus your mother.
Mother was in camp, so we came back.
So in actuality, you were free then. You were free to do as you wish.
As long as you were in that out of the West Coast.
Yeah. Did you face any hostilities while?
No.
No hostilities.
Yeah. No, not. I never faced any hostility any place, all the time I was in, all of the, even here. People were really nice to me when I was here all by myself. I only had a 3-mile radius I could move, From the hospital over to this Loomis's home and over to my farm, which is it was less than 3 miles. So, in fact, I couldn't go to Pismo or San Luis or wherever. Only time I went to San Luis Obispo was a time when this lady called me from LA and said, meet me in San Luis Obispo at such and such a time so I could give you a permit to move your father to assembly center. Then I got picked up. I got picked up by the sheriff when I was in San Luis that day.
Yeah.
MP followed me from Pismo Beach to San Luis in a Jeep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He saw Oriental driving a car going to San Luis, so they notified the military post in Camp San Luis. So they sent out a notice to pick me up in San Luis, wherever they could find me. So they finally caught up with me and took me to San Luis jail. And he says, so I said, what am I doing over here, you know? He said, I got a permit to come over here. So he says, you don't have to detain me, do you? Well, he said, I want you to stay until the officers from Camp San Luis come by. So, and the sheriff department, well, they know me. You know,
yeah.
I know those people. Well.
Back to Gila, Mr. Ikeda. How did the departure of internees, how did you and when were you and your mother able to be released, and where did you go?
See, I was in Utah at the time my mother, you know, and some of the family, like Kobara family and a few of the other families were coming back to back to Rio Grande.
Oh, you're in Utah working when...
Yeah, I was. So she came back herself with the other families, eight of the other Japanese family who came back to Rio Grande. She came back on her own, in other words.
What type of aid was given them? I mean, would they just ship them off? How were they transported to Rio Grande?
I can't remember whether they came back on a train, you know, with packed all their luggage and
where did they go to?
Many of them came back to this Japanese school property over there. They had one big hall and a couple of houses over there. So some of the families came back over there, some of the single people, bachelors came back to there. They call that hostel or something, where they came back and my mother came back to this Kobara family. Ken Kobara's parents, you got the names or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. They had a home over there.
Uh-huh, so your mother stayed with them?
And they had a lot of bunkhouse in the back where the labor, kind of labor camp, or farm labor camp.
Yeah.
And,
their property was all maintained? When they came back, everything was okay? I mean,
they had some family living in their house.
Oh. You see.
So they, she was, allowed to stay in their bunkhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe with two, three other families. And the she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back in the fall, they came back in the summer, I guess. Early fall, I guess. In 45, I would think.
Oh, 45?
Wasn't it 45? Pretty sure. When was it they were asked to leave the camp?
44.
Huh?
Late 44. 12/18. 44, December 1844, the termination.
So they start coming back after in 45.
Yeah, early.
And 45. I really don't know if they came back. I think they came back in the summer of 45.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't get back to November. you know, after the season was over, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you came back and joined your mother?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, now tell me, what happened then? Did you regain any of your property that you had, your 60 acres?
Yes, we regained that,
Mm-hmm. So, did you...
See, I didn't have any home.
Yeah.
We just had that two-room house that we had all the stuff stored. And
uh-huh.
All the stuff we may have been missing, but we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Not that much of valuable stuff was in there anyway.
Mm-hmm. So how did you subsist? What did you do?
I started farming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I started farming in the following spring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had to come back and put in all the savings. I tried to save when I worked in Idaho and Utah and Chicago, and bought me a old clunker car and started back farming. Bought a horse.
And you buy a home?
No, we just made that little two-room into a makeshift home.
Uh-huh.
Kitchen on one side and bedroom on the other. And it was only a 12 by 24, you know.
Uh-huh. Were you faring well? Were you doing good then? I mean, were times hard?
Oh, first several years, you know, you really had to struggle. You mm-hmm. really had to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When does Mrs. Ikeda come into the picture?
Oh, so mother and I were only went back here. My youngest brother, Saab, was in the service, you know, went in the service from Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
So then he was shipped to Japan, you know, right after the war. In fact, he was headed to Orient when the war was declared over. You know, August, what was August some day? Is a day that, you know.
August 8:45, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah. So he was already on a ship headed to Orient, so he landed in Japan and was in the intelligence corps where they, you know, interviewed
uh-huh.
all the people. And so then my other brother, he got sick in Toledo, you know, and he was rejected from army before evacuation because he had a scar in his lung, a TV scar.
He
rested, but he was, when he went back east in the cold winter, you know, he flared up on him and he had to come back to Gila, to the hospital. So he had to be transferred over to San Luis Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Actually one brother was in the service, the other was laid up in the hospital.
Right.
So, and I'm the oldest, so she, you know, it's more reason that she didn't want me to go in the service.
Right, right. I can see that.
Yeah. So, we farmed for about 5 years, 45 to 50, and I married my wife in 50.
Did you meet her? Here in San Luis Obispo?
Yeah, she had a friend in Morro Bay. And she was in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And she went to Chicago from Poston relocation camp.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew this lady, a good friend of ours, his wife was a... my wife Mitzi's good friend.
Mm-hmm.
So she introduced me to her.
I see. And so, how did your growth, tell me more of your growth, I mean, something had to happen between now and then to
this. Well, in 40 and 50, we, just before that, in 47 or 8, I don't know, we built a home in on a farm. We have a farm in Oceana. That's another 60 acres I was talking about. That's in Oceana,
right,
area. See, we built the house. That was before I was married, mother and I. And we got married. And we, farming went fairly good, you know, so we acquired another 40, 35 acres right while I was earning that 60 acres. And then in 54 or 5, this place was up for sale, and we, you know, tackled this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my brother, who was in the service, came back, went to UC Berkeley, graduated, and he came back on the farm, see. And the other brother, you know, was sick, he got well, and he came back on the, came back too. So we were back to 4 and 5 with Mitzi.
Mm-hmm.
And we found Japanese family pretty close, and we stuck together and worked together.
The can you relate the Japanese community now? I mean, like after the war, as compared to before the war, not too many Japanese families came back.
Yeah, just most of the family that came back owned their
land.
Owned their land.
Uh huh.
The few who didn't own the land came back too, you know, but then gradually built themselves back up.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody who had the land here, you know, of course they came back.
Yeah.
If we didn't have any place to come back, I don't know what we would have done, but we had that 60 acres to come back to, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, were there, did you partake, as you did before the war, in the social, cultural events of the Japanese community? Did they unite?
They didn't have a, you know, they never got back to those cultural, JACL, Japanese American Citizens League, that's one organization, you know, was reactivated in this colony.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the only organization we had, aside from, well, the Buddhist people got their Buddhist church back, right, in, you know, but we were Christians, so we didn't get involved in that end, but JACL, well, they only met 2-3 times a year, but, you know.
Yeah. I see. Yeah.
We got involved in youth activities, mm-hmm. community activities, like baseball programs, youth baseball. Mm-hmm. I was asked to join the Rotary Club right after I got married. And Vard Loomis, the fellow that took me in.
Mm-hmm.
See, they came over and said, "Hey, how about joining the Rotary Club?" You know? So I joined that club. That was in 1951, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have, I take you have workers, a lot of workers working for you, under you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mother?
Mm-hmm. Not finished. Yeah, okay.
Huh? You don't mind a hamburger, do you, Rick?
Excuse me, ma'am?
You don't mind eating a hamburger?
Oh, I have a hamburger.
McDonald's,
sure.
Burger or something. I'll go get it.
Sure,
yeah,
thank
okay.
you.
This has, I interviewed you, Mr. Ikeda. It
yeah.
seems like the toll it took on you was very minimal. It, you know, looking back on those days, What are your feelings? What emotions come to you looking back on those days of the evacuation? You know, of the
Since I didn't come back to after evacuation, right back to Oro Grande Valley with the original group, you know, since I was in Utah for 4 or 5 months, the original group, when they came back, they had little problems, you know. Some neighbors didn't want to talk to them, or they didn't want to help them out, or whatever, you know. But eventually, those are the people that got out of farming after we came back because they couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. So, but after I came back, I didn't have any problem with any people, local people. They were all friendly. Of course, we didn't go out of the way trying to make problem either, you know.
Right. Right.
Then I try to get in the community picture by helping out with what I like. I like sports, you know, mainly baseball. So I got involved in a Babe Ruth baseball program, and I helped him out for 20 years.
You know? Mm-hmm.
First 15, 16 years, I was a manager every summer with a youth program, and then I became a league president for a while and helped him out. And, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to give back what the country, you know, this community gave me, this good life.
Yeah. Well, you worked for it.
Yeah, I worked for it, sure. You know.
But they, you feel they gave you the opportunity to work for it, huh?
Yeah, well, our parents were able to, you know, work here, and they said, this is my country, my community, so we want to make the best of it, you know. So we pitched in and do whatever I can. Mm-hmm. Whenever there's any kind of a thing going on in the community that they want support, you know, go out and help them. So the evacuation, it was a bad thing, you know, because by putting the citizen in a detention camp, or whatever you call relocation camp, which isn't you know, as a democratic nation, it's not the right thing to do, maybe, but he may have helped the Japanese Niseis and the Sanseis spread out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If it weren't for the war and the evacuation, maybe you're confined to that narrow one group of Japanese. But this way, younger generation were able to spread out all over the country and became more assimilated.
Yeah.
And from the overall picture, it was, I think it was a turned out for the best. Better, anyway. I don't know about best, but better.
Uh-huh.
From my
standpoint.
Standpoint.
Yeah. Do you see any correlation, or do you see anything even close to a correlation with the recent deportation of Iranian students? Are you familiar with this?
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah.
Do you what comes to you? Do you feel any even close to a?
No, I don't feel anything close to that because.
Do you think it could happen again? The evacuation, or, you know, the relocation of Japanese or any minority?
I don't think it would happen again. I think the Iranian situation is different than.
Yes.
You know, they're foreigner here, and they're raising creating problems.
Right.
You know, being shipped back, they're bringing it on himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. You feel, since you don't think it will happen again, democracy has grown. We've grown. Okay. Well, I think that this about does it. And I'm very happy to have gotten the information I've gotten from you today. And thank you very much.
You're welcome.